Where are you going? A short meditation by Brother Bob Lloyd from his book, Minute Meditations. Where are you going? We should all be concerned about the future because we're going to spend the rest of our lives there, observed the late Charles Kettering. While it seems reasonable that we should be concerned about the future, it appears that few are. At least it's hard to imagine that they are by the way they live. Most people appear to be living like there was no tomorrow. This is true concerning such things as savings, old age, etc., but more especially true and to a much larger degree when it comes to religion. Everything we know and see tells us that death is the future for everyone that is born. And this agrees with the wise man Solomon, who said, "For the living knows that they shall die, but the dead know not anything." In spite of this, most people seem to take the attitude of just don't think about it and maybe it will go away. They do this concerning their plans for many temporal things, as well as the day of their death. It is this attitude that keeps many people from being successful in life, say the psychologists. Few people have clear-cut goals. They really do not know where they are going or why, and yet they hope to get there. It's no wonder that so many people reach their deathbeds spiritually bankrupt. It is well nigh impossible to get anywhere if we don't even know where we want to go. And to achieve any worthwhile goal, we need to define, in no uncertain terms, just what we are striving for and what must be done to accomplish it. It's surprising how few do this about everything in life. Even for the temporal goals, this is necessary in order to attain success. Let us hope that we have been wise and set our affections on things above rather than things on earth. But the same fundamental steps should be followed if we want to achieve success. "We are fearfully and wonderfully made," said David. "The more we understand about ourselves, the more we realise this. God has created us with wonderful capabilities. We seldom use to anywhere near our full potential. Just what is our goal? Just what are we doing to achieve it? Since each one of us is headed unalterably toward the grave, surely the wisest goal imaginable is to inherit eternal life at the return of Christ. This is the one goal in life that is really worth seeking. All others are hollow victories which fail to give lasting benefits, but all die and leave their wealth to others." Now Paul tells us to seek this goal by a patient continuance in well-doing. This is the way to achieve glory, honour and immortality. What more could our heart desire than godly glory, honour and immortality? And this is ours if we seek for it. How do we do this? First, we must want it more than anything else, for surely where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. We need to study our Bibles until God's kingdom becomes such a real thing in our lives that we can close our eyes and imagine the glory, honour and joy that awaits us. We need to set our course for this goal as the ploughman sets his goal on the landmark at the end of the field and ploughs a straight furrow towards it. As Christ said, if we look back after putting our hand to the plough, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. The reason? We can't go forward whilst looking back. We cannot attain a place in the kingdom without making that our goal in life and sacrificing all else to achieve it. Paul admonished us to lay aside every weight and to run with patience the race set before us. If we are trying to drag the things of the world along behind us, they will distract us to the point that we shall miss the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This goal can be attained, although it cannot be earned. It is the gift of God, and He is willing to give it to each one of us if we want it enough to seek for it with all our hearts.